is Vayera. By Vayera, we always read in the middle or towards the other half of Machashvan. Vayera is a parsha of, as the name suggests, Gilui. Vayera means to reveal, revelation, his galus, as Unkelus translates, Veizgali. This is the parsha where Avraham is rewarded. This is the parsha where Yitzchak is born. This is the parsha where Avraham Avinu receives even greater brachas as a result of the Akedah. It's sort of like Lech Lecha is the parsha in which we learn about Avraham Avinu's work, Avraham Avinu's avoda in this world, Avraham Avinu's nisyonos, even though the nisyonos continue in Vayera, but Vayera is more like the parsha of Schar, where Avraham Avinu receives a revelation from Hashem because of the avoda that he did in Parshas Lech Lecha. In fact, the Vayera in this week's parsha is different than any of the Vayeras up till now, because till now, whenever Hashem appeared to Avraham, it was temporary kaviyachol, because afterwards it says Vayal me'olav elokim, Hashem, the Shechina would leave Avraham. Here it was permanent. Vayera elav Hashem ve'eloine mamre, for good, because after this it never says Vayera again. It only says Vayomer, he said. And Hashem was with him constantly after this, which is sort of the Hizgalus HaShechina that exists in Olam Haba. When we look through this parsha and we come to the end, and we know that the beginning and the end of every parasha are connected, there's usually a theme that connects all the different topics of the parasha. The end of the parasha does not seem to be at all related or connected in any way to the beginning, which this is the parasha of Vayera, the parasha of Revelation. The parasha ends off that Acharei Advarim Ha'ele, after the Akedah, and Avraham Avinu had second thoughts, Avraham Avinu had Hirhurim, Avraham Avinu was pondering the situation, what would have been had I slaughtered Yitzchak and I never married him off. I should have married him off before. What was Avraham really pondering? So there are some who say the greatness of Avraham Avinu, that he blamed himself that he was not able to finish the job at the Akedah. He blamed himself for not being able to shecht Yitzchak because he hadn't married him off. Had he married him off and there would have been a grandchild, then probably he would have been able to, because then the future of Klal Yisrael wouldn't have been at stake. Avraham blamed himself that Hashem could not allow him to shecht Yitzchak, because Hashem promised him kibi Yitzchak ikhori v'chazara, because he'd never married him off. See, even that he took the blame for, and had he married him off, he would have been able to perform the Akedah. Hashem tells him, wrong, it could not have happened, you couldn't have married him off, because his Zivik was just born now. Hine yolda milka gam hi banim l'nochar achicha, u'besuel yolad es Rivka. So here, the end of the parasha is the besoira, the good news that Rivka was born. Just as in the beginning of the parasha, we learn about the besura of Leidas Yitzchak. Perhaps that's the connection between the beginning of the parasha and the end, where the Malach says, Shoiv oshav elecha ko eis chayav hinei vein l'soro eshtecha, which most say this was Malach Michoel. Malach Michoel was the one who was mevaser that Yitzchak is going to be born. He was the one that came together with the other two Malachim. And at the end of the parasha, Hashem himself is mevaser Avraham that Rivka, the Zivig of Yitzchak, was born. But why is it necessary to go through all the details here? Hinei yolda milka gamhi, she also bore children to your brother Nachor. And the names, Utz, Buz, Kamuel, Kesed, Chazoy, which we know from Chazal, these were all Rishoyim. Some say Kamuel is Lavan or Bilam. Utz, according to one opinion, is Eiv. And then Ubisua Yoladis Rivka. So Rashi says, Kol ha-yichusin halolu v'nichtavu ela b'shvil pasuk zeh, that all these names are only mentioned to tell us Ubisua Yoladis Rivka. Now, it's insignificant. It's just the main point is Ubisua Yoladis Rivka. If it's insignificant, then why say it? Why not just say, Hu gad la'Avraham, that Milcah had children and the grandchild was Rivka. That's what we're really concerned about. We're not concerned that we're interested really in the others. Then the Torah says, Shmoina Eila Yolda Milcah. These eight Milcah gave birth to. Minyana Lamali. What does the Torah have to say? A number. Anyone can count. You see, Utz, Buz, Kamuel, Keset, Chazoy, Pildash, Yidlov, Besuel. So you have eight. Everyone knows that there are eight. And then when we finish with this, we thought the whole reason why it says these psukim is to tell us mainly because Ubisua Yoladis Rivka. So why does the Torah go a step further and say, by the way, Upilaksha Ushma Reuma, that he had a Pilegesh whose name was Reuma, and she gave him four children too, Tevach, Gachem, Tarash, and Macha. What does that have to do with Rivka? So Rashi before this says on the words Gamhi, because the pasuk says Hine Yolda Milka Gamhi, she also had children. What's the also? There's an interesting medrash. The Yalkut Shimoni brings it down. The Ramban discusses it at the end of the parasha that Milka was also an Akara. Milka could not have children either. Milka was Sarah's sister. As we read at the end of Parsha Sneach, Avi Milka and Avi Yiska, they're sisters, they're both daughters of Haran. So just like Sarah was an Akara, Milka was an Akara. Sarah is remembered in this week's Parsha of Hashem Pagad is Sarah, so is Milka. As Rashi says, that when Sarah became pregnant, Haba Akarois Nifkidu Ima V'Ravschai Koyabayil, there was tremendous joy in the world because many other barren women were remembered and many women became pregnant, including the sister of Sarah, Milka. So she's also having children here. In fact, she's even having more than Sarah. Sarah had one. She has eight. Rashi says the Gam He is also for a different reason. Gam He means that she's also like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov had 12 children. Yaakov, from Avraham, comes out 12 Shvatim from Yaakov, 8 to Abnei Akvirois and Dalad Bnei Shvachos, Bilha and Zilpah. Here too, there are 8 that were born to Nachor from Milka, who was a wife, and 4 that were born from the Pilegesh Reuma. So we're comparing sort of Milka's children with Avram's grandchildren. Avram has 12 later. Yaakov has 12 Shvatim. Milka and Nachor together with the Pilegesh, they have 12. 8 from Milka and 4 from Reuma. Is there really a comparison? Could we compare Milka and Reuma's children to Yaakov's children? The Shiftei Kol, they're all tzaddikim. We're comparing him. We see that Yishmael also had 12 children in Parshas Lech Lecha. We read Shneim Asar Nesiim Yoilid, and he had 12 children. So what is this, a game? Everyone is trying to, you have 12, I'll also have 12. So what's the Hine Yolda Milka Gam He? And the Pasuk says, Hine, behold. It's like a Chiddush. Hine means it's a Chiddush. It's beholding. It's unusual, such a thing. It's unusual because Milka was an Akara. So it's Hine, like it says by Sarah, Hine Bein L'Sara Eshtecha. Because it's Hine, it's unusual because Sarah is an Akara. We're comparing Milka to Sarah, and it's clear that we are doing that because the pasuk says Gam He, she also has children. From the pasukim, it seems to be telling us not just the Ubisuel Yoladis Rivka. That's the purpose of it all. The purpose of it all is Ubisuel Yoladis Rivka. There seems to be some sort of comparing going on between Milka and Sarah, or Avram, Yaakov, and the children of Nachor, Milka, and Reuma. What is that? The pasha begins with what the Gemara tells us that we learn out from this, that Gedoyla Hachnosas Orchim Yoisa Mikabolas Pnei Hashchina. Hachnosas Orchim is a greater mitzvah even than Kabolas Pnei Hashchina, and we see this clearly from this week's parasha, where Avraham Avinu is in the middle of a communion with Hashem. Hashem has just appeared to him, and it's like as if Avraham is davening Shemona Esrei. He's talking to Hashem, or he's being Misaneg Meziv Hashchina, Me'ein Olam Haba. Hashem appears to him, either Levakar es Hachayla, according to the first Pshat in Rashi, or Hashem was being Shoyal B'Shloima, he was the Yom Shlishi Lemila, but he doesn't say anything to him. It's just the feeling. Avram feels the Shechina with him. And Vehu Yoshev Pesach Ha'el Kechayim Hayoyim. Avram is on such a high madrega, he's not falling on the ground anymore. In last week's parasha, Vayipol Avram Alponov Mimoyra HaShechina. Here, Vehu Yoshev, he's sitting. Vehu Yoshev Pesach Ha'el Kechayim Hayoyim. And why is he sitting Pesach Ha'el, as we know from Rashi? He wants to see if there are passerby so he could invite them into the home. Which some say that's why Vayera Elof Hashem Ve'Eloine Mamre. He is Zoicha, he merits Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina because of his Hachnosas Orchim.
There's a mitzvah like that.
Hachnosas Orchim is a mitzvah.
Mitzvah at the time?
Chesed is a mitzvah. Avraham Avinu is doing this. Avraham Avinu is doing this to teach everyone that there's one God. That's his mission. His mission, he's not just inviting people into the house to eat and goodbye. The purpose is that they make a bracha, they recognize who Hashem is. That's the whole tafkid of Avraham Avinu. At that time, Avraham Avinu started the 2,000 years of Torah, which at that time, Torah was first recognition that there's one God. These are Arabs, these are idol worshippers, he thinks, who bow down to the earth. That's a gevaldik mitzvah to bring these people to recognize Hashem. The question is, what's greater? Your own relationship with Hashem, or bringing others closer to Hashem, which has been an age-old controversy, but from our parasha you see clearly what the answer is. Hachnosas Orchim is greater. Being makarev people to Yiddishkeit is greater than a person sitting and learning all day. It's greater than a person davening for 4 hours. Clear. Pasuk Mefurish, or Gemara Mefureshes. Today, everyone agrees to it. You know, years ago there was a controversy, what's more important? We have to insulate ourselves. In our time, every organization, every segment of Klal Yisrael is involved somehow or other in Hachnasas Orchim, which we'll see is really Kirev Rechaikim. The question is, how did Avraham Avinu know this? We know it from him because he says to Hashem, "Im nama sasi chayn be'enecha al nasav me'al avdecha. Please don't go away. I'll be back. I'm going to take care of the Orachim and then we'll come back and we'll talk." If you're in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you're not even allowed to look out of the Siddur. You're not even allowed to, you have to keep your eyes closed if you don't have a Siddur. So Avraham Avinu is doing even more than davening Shemana Esrei. Hashem has just appeared to him. A chutzpah to go deal with three Arabs when he's in the middle of talking to Hashem. That's what you see. The question is, how did he know that? We know it from him. How did he know that? So there are different answers. The Rambam writes, how do we know? The Rambam brings these words, not the words that the Gemara brings. The Rambam says, how does that prove anything? Avraham Avinu knew his madrega. Avraham Avinu was on a high madrega. His body was so oizgearbit. His body was on the level that it didn't do anything against the Ratzon Hashem. He didn't blink an eye if it wasn't the will of Hashem. Which is why later on by the Akedah it says, Vayishlach Avraham es yodoi, he had to force himself sort of to get the knife. His hand wouldn't get the knife. So he thought, or others would have thought, maybe because he went into shock. Probably as he's about to shecht Yitzchak, his body couldn't handle it. So psychologically he couldn't take it, so he couldn't move his hand. He froze. The real reason why he froze is because he was not really to slaughter Yitzchak. Hashem did not want him to shech it, so his hand would not go. That's how his garbage his body was. He had to force it. He blamed himself later that maybe that's why he was disqualified for not doing the Akedah, because his body is not so perfect. You see, he had to force his hand, when really that was the Ratzon Hashem. Here also, Avraham Avinu, the fact that he noticed the Shloisha Anoshim while he's in the midst of such revelation from Hashem tells him that that's what Hashem wants him to do. Otherwise, why does he notice it? He wouldn't have seen it. The fact that Vayar Vehine Shloisha Anoshim, while he's in the middle of experiencing this Gevaldic revelation Vayar Eilef Hashem, that itself told him that's what he is to do. Others say his feet began running. Vayar Vayoratz Lekrosim, on his own, his feet sort of began running towards the Malachim, so he knew that that meant that that's what he has to be involved with now. What exactly does it mean? Why is Hachnasas Orchim greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina? What's the lesson that we learn from that? What we see in this week's Parsha is what the Sfarim tell us, and the Or HaChaim discusses it at the end of the Parsha, where it talks about Leidas Rivka, that great sparks of Kedusha are found in the lowest places where godliness is concealed. We call that a helem v'hester, where there's hester punim. That's where the greatest kedusha really is. And our job, and that's the avodah of yid in the world, which is called in the Sfarim avodas habirurim, is to separate, to elevate, to separate, to take the sparks of kedusha that exist in the world, which is concealed, but we do not see Galus Hashem. We do not feel the presence of Hashem. And bring the Giloy of Hashem, bring the revelation of Hashem, even in a world of concealment. For example, in this week's Parsha, the Pasuk says, the Malachim said to Lot in the story of Sodom, Hine shtei b'noisecha hanimtsois, grab your two daughters hanimtsois that are found in your house, and leave the city immediately, because we're going to destroy the city. So the Gemara says, here's where Malchus Beis David is hidden. Malchus Beis David in Sodom. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Matsasi David Avdi, B'shem en Katri Meshachdin. I found my servant David, says the Gemara, V'heichan Matsasi. Where did Hashem find him? B'Sodom, in Sodom. Where? Because the Pasuk says, Shtei v'naisecha hanim tzois, it's that I found. It's really an extra word. It should have said, take your wife and your two daughters so that they shouldn't be destroyed. What's the word? Hanim tzois. Hanim tzois, that I found. Here is where Malchus Beis David, who's referred to as a metziah in the Gemara, a metziah, which is one of the three things that comes behesach hadas. It's something that you don't expect. It only comes when it's unexpected. A person's walking in the street and suddenly he finds a lost item on the floor. It's a metziah. A metziah is found behesach hadas. And so is Mashiach, the Gemara says, and so is the akrev, which is the scorpion. These things happen unexpectedly. Malchus Beis David is found, Malchus Beis David is hidden in the most unlikely place of them all. Where? In the city with the lowest, with the people of the lowest character, the most immoral place on earth, which even today everyone, when they want to talk about certain abominations, they say that these people do like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and everyone knows that Sodom and Gomorrah is the Mokum of Hashchasa. Sodom is the place where today the Yam HaMelach exists, which we call the Dead Sea. It's a dead place. The, below sea level. It's low Begashmias, it's low Beruchnias. That's where Malchus Beis David is found. That's where the spark of Mashiach exists. In the most unlikely of places, in a place that is the most concealed, where godliness is so concealed, one would not expect to find Hashem in Sodom. One would not expect to feel any kedusha in such a place, and that's where Malchus Beis David is formulated, of all places. We see at the end of the parasha, as Rivka is being revealed, Rivka is being born, before her birth, her brothers, sisters, or family members are being born first. Who are they? They are all Rishoyim. Utz, Buz, Kemuel. Who would expect Rivka over here? As the Medrash says, Kishoyshana bein ha-choychem, like a rose among thorns. These are thorns. Choychem, koitz v'dardar tatzmiach, these are koitzim, dardarim, Rishoyim, those who are cursed. And in the midst, there's a little bracha in the middle, there's a little rose there, hidden, surrounded by all these thorns. And the Orach Chaim says that when a neshama kedosha is revealed in the world, at the same time, the tzad sheneged, which we call the le'umazeh, the other side, also produces. But we see today, for example, as we're getting closer to the gilui of Mashiach, there's a lot of revelation in the world, not necessarily the tzad hakedusha, whether it's in technology, computer science, medicine. Medicine is not the opposite of kedusha. Medicine is good, good inroads that they're making today. But all the revelations today with space technology, internet, computer science, whatever it is, the media, high tech that we see today, which could be used very positively if it's used in the right way, here we see at the same time, as we're getting very close to the revelation of Mashiach, and the explosion of knowledge of Torah that we see today, the Sfarim being printed in a massive, massive way, tremendous Giluyim, tremendous revelation, in the time when we're living in such a Hester Panim, so much concealment. But at the same time, there's also revelation going on the other side. That's how it is. There's le'umaz, that's the balance. Whenever there's a lot of kedusha, there's a lot of tumah, and the tumah tries to prevent the kedusha from sprouting forth. Whatever we see happening in the tumah is an indication what's coming in the tzad hakedusha. When Avram finds out that Utz and Buz and Kemuel and Kesed and Chazoy and Pildash and Yidlof and Besuel are entering the world, then something great is coming. And that's what it is. As Rashi says, all these psukim are only said to tell us, Ubisuel Yolades Rivka. The more we see, the more decadence, the more morality we see in the world, the more revelation that we see in the tzad that is not kedusha is only an indication of what's coming. It's only an indication that tremendous kedusha is imminent going to be revealed. Just like we see today clearly that the world has sunken into the Shaar HaNun of Tumah, lower even than during Golos Mitzrayim. The same like by the Dor HaMavel, if not even worse, in an open, outright, clear, it's clear, with an arrogance, with a chutzpah, as the Mishnah says, chutzpah yazga. The Tumah is not even ashamed. They're not ashamed to publicize who they are. They're not ashamed to parade their abominations. And even in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, they're bringing Sodom to Yerushalayim. Instead of changing Sodom, that Sodom should become Yerushalayim, they're bringing Sodom into Yerushalayim. So when we see all this negativity in the world, it's only an indication of all the positive that's coming. That's the chizuk that we have to take from this. A person shouldn't say, the world is over, it's doomed, it's finished, it's going to get so bad. The fact that it's so bad only means that the good is around the corner. Ubisuel Yovades Rivka. Shmoina Eile Yolda Milka. The world of Shmini is coming. Shmini, Shmoina Eile, that was the number 8. Goyim don't have anything to do with the number 8. The number 8 is the number that is associated with Lamaylam and Ateva. The number 8 is the number that is associated with Kedusha. The number 8 is Olam Haba. The number 8 is Yemais HaMashiach. Only Rivka has to do with Shmoina. But before Rivka is born, the Koiches HaTumah come into the world first. They come first, try to prevent the Kedusha from being revealed, and then the Kedusha sprouts forth whether they like it or not. It's all Nisyonos. These are Nisyonos that we should overcome the Nisyonos and humble the Tumah, and then the Kedusha is revealed. It is all in order to bring Ubisuel Yoladis Rivka. And even when it gets worse, and Upilaksha Yishmaru Umabat Taylor Gam, he has Terach, he has Kacham, he has Tachach, he has Macham.
The tumah is so great, even after Ubisul Yomad is Rivka, there's still the Pilegesh, and there's the Tevach, and the Gacham, and the Tachash, and the Macha. That's also part of the revelation. Perhaps that's hinting to us that even after we see all these clear signs that Mashiach is coming, clear simonim, and then again we see a Yerida. That's also part of it. All part of the goal. It's all part of the result of all of this, which is Ubisul Yomad is Rivka. Rivka is the Kedusha. Rivka symbolizes, she's the Shoshana Bein HaChochem, she's the Or, she's the light that is hidden in the Choshech. She's the light that is by Keah Minach, as the Pasuk says in Kehelos, Kisroin Ha'or Minach Choshech. The light is greater when it comes after darkness than light by itself. The fact that Rivka is born after Uz, Buz, Kemuel, Keset, Chazoi, so brings with a greater light. The Nitzitz Kedusha, which Rivka is the spark of Kedusha here at the end of the parasha that we learn about, again, is hidden amongst the thorns of her brothers and sisters, Uz, Buz, Kemuel, and the like. Just as Malchus Beis David is rooted in Sodom. Just as Yitzchak is born in Eretz Pelishtim. In this week's parasha, we read about the birth of Yitzchak. The birth of Yitzchak, Leidas Yitzchak, which is symbolic to Bias HaMashiach. Bias HaMashiach is compared to Leidas Yitzchak. Just like Hashem Pokar es Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah, she's the first of the Akorahs. Hashem will remember Yerushalayim. So is Tosis v'Sogelo Akora. Yerushalayim is the seventh Akora. The Medrash says there are seven Akoras. Six human, and the seventh is Yerushalayim. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Chana, and Slalfoin is the mother of Shimshon, and Yerushalayim. V'Hashem Pokar es Sarah is symbolic of Sois Tosis v'Sogelo Akora. V'Hashem Pokar es Sarah is Begamatria, Hini Anoichi, Shaleach, Lechem, Eseliyahu, Anovi. Pekida Sarah, that's the Pekida So Akora, is Pekidas Yerushalayim. Leidas Yitzchak is Bias HaMashiach. Where is Yitzchak born? In Eretz Pelishtim. What kind of land is Pelishtim? The Pelishtim is a place, Eretz Pelishtim is a country in which Avram Avinu says, Rak Ein Yiras Elohim Bamakam Hazeh. There's no Yira there. There's no Yerushalayim there. There's no fear of Hashem. It is a place of total litzonis. The Medrash tells us on the Pasuk of Moishav Leitzim Lo Yoshav in Tehillim, who are the Moishav Leitzim? Zu Plishtim. The Plishtim are Leitzim. That's why when Yitzchak was born, it says, Leitzonei Ador. All the mockers, the comedians, they would make jokes. That would be the late night comedy routine, would be about that you believe that this 90-year-old woman had a son, Yitzchak. Nonsense. It's baloney. It's Leitzonis. It's an adopted child. Until she had to prove it with the Heinika Bonim Sora, they all came to the party and they saw that it was true. Litzonis is the worst midah in a way, because it takes everything and just brings it down to, it takes the greatest emuna, the greatest kedusha is all rubble after litzonis. A person makes a joke out of something serious, it's not serious anymore. A Rebbe or a Baal Musa gives a drush, and at the end someone makes a joke, the whole thing goes down the ground, it's all in the garbage. Litzonis is the opposite of emuna. Emuna means you believe even in that which is not logical. You believe in whatever Hashem says, whether it makes sense or not. Litzonis is you make fun. Even what's true, you don't believe. Litzonis, everything is a joke. That's the Pelishtim. The Pelishtim make a joke out of everything. That's the Tzchoik of Tumah. Yitzchak is the Tzchoik of Kedusha. Yitzchak, which means laughter, but it's not Litzonis, Chas V'Shalom. It's Ozi Molei Tzchoik Pinu. Yitzchak is Tzchoik HaAmiti, real joy. But he was born in the land of Litzonis, in the land of the Plishtim who are Litzonim, who don't believe, and particularly that Ein Yiras Elohim b'Mokam Hazeh, and of all the Avos, of the three Avos, who's the one that represents the Midah of Yira? Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Yira of Afachad. Upachad Yitzchak Hayoli. Vayechrad Yitzchak. Yitzchak's Midah was Yira. And where was he born? He was born in a place where there's no Yira. Precisely in a place like the land of the Plishtim, the Mokam of Litzonis, of Tzchoik de Le'umaze, of Ein Yiras Elohim HaMokam Hazeh, that's where the Nitzitz of Yitzchak is. That's where Yitzchak is born. That's how Hashem made it. Hashem made the world in such a way that the sparks of Kedusha are hidden. It's a world of Choshech, of Tayhu Vavayu. The job of a Jew is to reveal the Kedusha that exists in concealed places among people who their Neshamas are concealed, Rechaikim, Orchim, as we'll see the Malachim here, who are Arvim, Shemeshtachavim, Avak Raglehem, and also in time that is concealed. Time that we do not feel the same revelation of Hashem as we do in other times. For example, Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan, in contrast to Tishrei, is a month in which we feel the hisgalus of Hashem. Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. Everyone is being mekabel Pnei Hashchina in Chodesh Tishrei. Ma'acheshvan is the month of Achnas HaZarchim. But Gedoyla Achnas HaZarchim, the Avodah of Ma'acheshvan is greater than the Avodah of Tishrei. Va'yeira Elav Hashem Be'eloinei Mamrei. Avraham Avinu experiences his galus from Hashem, his galus Hashchina. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. That's the Avodah of Chodesh Tishrei. Now he's being Isaac in Achnas HaZarchim, and that's greater. And Avraham Avinu is Nis'ala. Avraham Avinu becomes greater after his Avodah with Achnas HaZarchim than before. We see this clearly in the Psukim. Before it, it says that the Malachim were higher than he was at the beginning. It says, Nitzavim Allah. V'hinei Shloisha Anoshim Nitzavim Allah. They're standing over him. They're on a higher Madrega. But then afterwards it says, V'hu Oymeid Aleihem Tachas Ha'eitz Vayecheilu. Avraham Avinu reaches a greater level because of his involvement in Achnas HaZarchim than before, even though before he was involved in Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina. But Achnas HaZarchim brought him to a greater Madrega.
But this is the first time he's being Achnas HaZarchim? I mean, hasn't he been doing this all along?
Yeah, here's what the Torah is telling it to you. Doesn't mean that he's not doing it all along. Here's what the Torah is telling us. The Vayera was also all along. The difference is that until now, when he was involved in Achnas HaZarchim, it wasn't at the same time that he was being Mekabel Pnei HaShechina. So you don't know till now that it's greater. Here's where, at the same time, he has a choice now. Stay with Hashem and forget about these Shleishan Hashem. I'm davening Shemayna Esrei now. It's Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina. Here's where you see that Gedoyla Achnas HaZarchim, Yosem Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina. What's the idea of Achnas HaZarchim? It's taking someone who's on the outside and bringing them in. Literally, you're taking someone who's out.
So you said before, how did he know that?
No, he knew that from different ways. Either because he saw them, the Vayar.
He knew that Bidoyle Achnas HaZarchim in the Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina.
That, well, the fact that he saw them while he was in the midst of a revelation from Hashem, he wouldn't have noticed them. The fact that he noticed them means that Hashem is hinting to them, that's what you got to do, that's greater than speaking to me. Or the fact that he ran towards them on his own, his feet went towards them on his own. And the fact that the Torah tells you, with all the details, and how he reaches a higher Madrega, first it's Nitzavim, and now it's V'hu Oymeid Aleihem, or as it says later, V'Avram Oydenu Oymeid L'fnei Hashem. Even after being involved, Achnas HaZarchim, you have to lower yourself. The person has to, he's lowering himself. Here he's talking to Hashem. He has to go and get involved with tongue and mustard. This is what Avram is busy with. Avram has Taivas Achila. Avram has to deal with people who don't recognize that there's one God when he's in the midst of talking to the one God. Why should he involve himself, lower himself, and deal with these, what he thinks they're people? We know they're malachim, but why should he lower himself to them, to their madrega, and bring them chema and cholov and run and lushi vasi ugais and all of this when he's in the midst of the greatest of Shar Hanun? He's in the highest level of Kedusha, the Sfarim say. Vayera Elav Hashem Be'eloinei Mamre, that Avraham Avinu reached the Shar Hanun of Kedusha after the Mila, because involvement in Achnas HaZarchim is greater. What does it mean literally? Literally it means people who are outside, you're bringing them in. They're outside the boundaries of Kedusha. They're outside of the confines of Kedusha. You're bringing them in. Avraham Avinu is bringing them into his home, which is a mini Beis HaMikdash. They're outside. They bow down to the earth, which represents, that means that they're into the pleasures of this world. They worship the earth. They worship the world. They worship the pleasures of this world. That's what they want. That's what they're interested in. Now, Avraham Avinu brings them into his home to teach them to worship Hashem. Avraham Avinu is taking the sparks of Kedusha out of their concealment. He's revealing, again, it's a metaphor because these are malachim, but the Torah is telling it to us, hinting to us what the concept of Achnas HaZarchim are. These are people who are far away from Kedusha. The spark of Kedusha, which means their neshamas, are concealed under rubble of Tumah after all the years of Chet that they were involved in, their fault or not their fault. The idea of Achnas HaZarchim is removing the dirt, revealing the spark of Kedusha that exists in their neshamas, despite how low they are now, and bringing them inside, which is what the Ayid is supposed to be doing in this world in general. In general, we go out into the world, in the business world, wherever we go in the street, and there we bring the Giloy of Hashem. We take the revelation of Hashem with us into the world, not only in the shul, not only in the Beis Medrash. The shul, an average human, an average person, not someone who is able to learn all day, that's a great thing, but an average person learns in the morning, learns at night, and most of the day is involved in business. He's working. So most of the day, he's not in shul. Most of the day, he's not in the Beis Medrash. So what does that mean? The rest of the day is wasting his time? No. He's serving Hashem there too. What he's doing the rest of the day is Achnas HaZarchim.
Not necessarily taking actually people and bringing them into his home. But what he's doing is the avodah of achnas zarchim. He's going out into the world where godliness is concealed, and he's revealing Hashem in the world. He's dealing in his business in an honest way. He makes a bracha in Manhattan somewhere, wherever it is. He davens mincha in his office, or wherever it is. He goes to a shir, wherever it is in Manhattan someplace. He's not necessarily in the Beis Medrash or in the shul. He's out in the street making a Kiddush Hashem, bringing the Kedusha of the Beis Medrash and the shul with him out into the world, out into the business world, wherever it is, in his own home, or anywhere. That's Hachnas HaSarachim, and that's greater than Kabbalah's Panei HaShechina. It's no kunz for one to be to act properly when he's in shul and when he's in the Beis Medrash. The kunz is when you're out of the Beis Medrash. That's when we know whether the person's davening and learning in the morning was really worth anything. It's what he does the rest of the day. And at the end of the day, he comes back to shul and davens Ma'ariv and learns at the end of the day means that the in-between was not a hefsek.
It was just an in-between.
Exactly. And that's what Achnas HaSarachim is. It's G'dayil Mekabalas Pnei Ashkenaz. That's a tremendous chizuk for businessmen or for people who don't learn all day. Not everyone could. It doesn't mean that they're not involved in a tremendous avodah. In fact, their nisyonis are greater, and by overcoming their nisyonis, they reach a higher madrega than someone who's Mekabal Pnei Ashkenaz. That's clear. That's why Ma'ar Cheshvan is greater than Tishrei. Ma'ar Cheshvan is concealment. Ma'ar Cheshvan is Yerach Bul, as the Pasuk says in the Navi. The month of decay. The month that we have to deal with this world. In Tishrei, we're not dealing with this world. In Tishrei, we're dealing only with Gan Eden, Olam Haba. What does Sarah say over here? Even though she's laughing. But what does she say here? After Avraham is involved in this Hachnas HaSarachim, after the Torah teaches us that Gedoyla Hachnas HaSarachim, Yosef, Kabbalah, Panei HaShechina, Sarah says, Achrei Beloisi Hoysali Edna. That's exactly what she's saying. What is Beloisi? Beloisi means after my body withered away. I'm wrinkled. I'm old. Hoysali Edna. I'm going to be able to have, my skin is going to be smooth again. I'm going to be able to have children. That's exactly what the Avodah is. The Avodah is to transform the Beloisi to Edna. Edna, the root of Edna is Eden, which is Gan Eden, which is Nitzchias, which is eternity, which is the Olam Hashmini. Beloisi is this world. This is a world of Beloisi, of Bull, of Beis Vav Lamed. This is a world of decay. Everything in this world, the pleasures don't last forever. Nothing lasts. Everything decomposes and rots and eventually disappears. It's the next world where everything is eternal. But a Yid has the power to take the Bull of this world, to take the decay of this world and to transform it to Edna. Achrei Beloisi Hoysali Edna. That's what Achnas HaSarachim is. You take a person who's out in the world, a person who's far away from Kedusha, a person who worships the earth, a person who worships Bull, a person who worships the decay of this world. He'd rather enjoy this world than have a good time, even though at the end it all decays. We take such a person and we connect them to Shmini. We connect them to Edna, which is Gan Eden. Achrei Beloisi Hoysali Edna. That's the concept of Achnas HaSarachim. Sparks of Kedusha that are found in the lowest places among Neshamas that have fallen in the lowest times are the highest sparks of Kedusha after they're brought out. We see today, literally, I mean, people who were so vite from Yiddishkeit, who were brought back, who are mamish on the highest madregas today. And that's what we're here for. As the Medrash says, the reason why Hashem made the world is that we should make this world a dira b'tachtonim, a dwelling place for Hashem down below. Hashem wants to dwell here in this world, in this low earth, in this planet, on this planet, full of all of its evil and all the sheker of Olam Hazeh, and all the decadence and the immorality, and yet a Yid does what he's supposed to and reveals godliness. Vayera. A person brings Vayera, even in Be'eloine Mamre. What does Eloine Mamre mean? Eloine Mamre, besides the literal translation, Mamre comes from the word Mamrim Hayisim Hashem, a world of rebellion. Vayera Elav Hashem, where? Be'eloine Mamre. Even in the world of rebellion, Avram brought the Shechina, Avram brought his Galus HaShechina. Even in Cheshvan, which is Mazel Akrev, the Akrev is a scorpion. The scorpion, as mentioned last week, is the opposite of Gilui Shechina. The Mishnah says that in Yerushalayim there was no Akrev. Lo hizik nochash ve'akrev b'Yerushalayim. An Akrev does not belong in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, which is the city of Gilui Shechina, the city mentioned at the end of the Pasha, v'har Hashem Yeroyah, which Avram designates after the Akedah, that's not a place for the Akrev. So Ma'ar Cheshvan, and therefore Ma'ar Cheshvan, which is Mazel Akrev, there's L'Chaira a month in which we're not going to experience Gilui Shechina. It's Mazel Akrev. No, on the contrary. Vayera Elav Hashem Be'eloine Mamre is B'gematria Akrev. In the Mazel Akrev, in Ma'ar Cheshvan,
That's where we bring the Gilui Shechina. Achrei Beloisi Hoysoli Evna. A Yid has the power to change Yerach Bul into Chodesh Hashmini, which this is the eighth month. The Pasuk says, Yerach Bul Hu HaChodesh Hashmini. L'chayra, it's a contradiction. Bul is something which decays. Shmini is the number eight. Like we said at the end of the parasha, Shmoina Eliol, the Milkah. Shmini does not rot. It doesn't wither. It lasts forever. The Avodah of the Yid is to take the decay of this world and elevate it and connect it to that which is eternal. That's the Avodah of Mashiach. Mashiach ben David, together with Mashiach ben Yosef, will elevate this world and connect it to Olam Haba. Yerach Bul Hu HaChodesh Hashmini is B'gematria Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. That's their job. And that's our job before they come, to prepare for them, is that we do that in our daily lives, which the month of Maheshwan represents our daily lives. Yerach Bul, this is the month of Bul, the month which represents Olam Hazeh, which is the Olam, the world of Achrei Beloisi, which the job of a Jew is Hoysoli Edna, to change the Bul into Shmini, Achrei Beloisi, Hoysoli Edna. And that's why in this parasha we have Mashiach ben David in Sedoim, the Heichan Matzosiv b'Sedoim. Kach es ishtachav es shtei ben oisecha hanim tzo'ois. Hanim tzo'ois is equal to the word Yerushalayim. If you take the word hanim tzo'ois and you add it up b'miluoi, that means hey is hey aleph, and nun is nun vav nun, that's called the gematria b'miluoi. Hanim tzo'ois b'miluoi is b'gematria malchus beis David. This is where malchus beis David is. Malchus beis David is b'gematria chodesh ma'acheshvan. Chodesh ma'acheshvan, which is from the lowest months, mazel akrev, just as sedoim, the lowest place on earth, but that's where Malchus Beis David, that's where it's revealed, that's where the spark of Kedusha is, and our job is to take it out of the concealment. Chodesh Ma'acheshvan, which is the month in which Malchus Beis David was rebelled against, this is where Malchus Beis David is formulated. This is where Yid has to beg Hashem, as the Medrash says, that Ein Ben David Ba, Ad Sheyivakshu Olav. We have to uvikshuas Hashem Elohim Ve'ez David Malchum. We say this in Kiddush Levana. We have to ask for it, we have to beg for it. What's missing is the want, to want it, really want it. And, you know, hold the bite. That if we really want it, then obviously we're on the level that when it happens, we're not ashamed, we're not embarrassed. Why is it so important to see peace of Yeshua? That's one of the questions that they ask after 120. Because if a Jew is constantly being mitzapel Yeshua, and he's ready that if the Yeshua happens, he's going to be able to greet Mashiach, then obviously he's on a high madrega. He did Shuvah, and he's not ashamed. Otherwise, who's really ready? Mashiach comes suddenly, and the Gemara says that Mashiach comes behesach hadas, unexpectedly, like Ma'acheshvan is the unexpected month. This is the most unexpected month that we would expect anything great to happen. This is an empty month. This is Yerach Bul. This is Mazel Akrev. But the Gemara says that Akrev comes behesach hadas, Metziah is behesach hadas, Mashiach is behesach hadas, and if now that we find ourselves in the month of Ma'acheshvan, in the month of Akrev, just as Avraham Avinu served Hashem in an oifen of Lamailam and Hadas, everything he did defies logic, the way he was Machnas Oirach, despite that he was 99 years old, and just performed an operation, Bris Mila on himself, what he did was Hesach Hadas, it's Lamailam and Hadas, the Akedah is Lamailam and Hadas, it makes no sense, it defies logic. Serving Hashem, even where it's illogical, doing things beyond logic, even when it defies logic. We get up in the morning, we don't want to get up in the morning, we force ourselves to get up and go against nature. That's serving Hashem, Mamaylam and Adas, that's serving Hashem, Behesach Adas, and that's the chus, we're zoichet to Mashiach, who comes Behesach Adas, and we're zoichet to Vero, called Boso Yachtov, as the Pasuk says, Kipi Hashem Diber, Vayere Elof Hashem, His Galus Hashrin, especially through the Avoid of Achnasas Orchim, which we're all doing in this world, which is Gedoyla Mikabolas Panei Hashrin, the Avoid of Ma'acheshvan, which is greater than the Avoid of Tishrei, and that's a chus. We're going to be Mikabol Panei Mashiach, and we're going to be Zeicha to the Or of Mashiach, and the Or of Rivka, B'suel Yolah this Rivka, not be impressed by all the Tumah that we see around us, which is why the Pasuk says, Hine Yolga Milka Gam here. You're going to see revelations Gam, also on the other side. Yes, you're going to see a lot of revelations in the world of technology and by the Goyim, but it's all to bring Ubisuel Yola this Rivka. That's why all these psukim were said. That's why everything that's happening in the world is only to bring to the revelation of Rivka, which is the revelation of Mashiach. Leidas Yitzchak is Galus HaMashiach.